Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But we really, really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
So I started a new skincare routine.
The most self-cariest of self-care.
Yeah, so I got this face mask thing from Australia. I forget what it's called. It's like something with an A, like Asari or something like that. I don't know. It's influenced. I saw it on like TikTok. It's like a red clay mask and you can use it like 2 to 3 times a week. I love it.
Does it work on acne?
I don't know.
Because your girl's got a situation on and I don't, it's making me mad.
Maybe. I don't know. But I feel like it just like makes my skin like glowy. And then I got this like bee venom serum.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
It kind of has a tingle to it a little bit.
It doesn't have a tingle. You would think it would have a tingle because it's bee venom.
Yeah.
Well, just venom. You would think there's a tingle.
I've got
there's
stung not in a the tingle. Nose by a bee.
But I feel like it kind of like helps with like fine lines and wrinkles.
Oh.
Like, and maybe it's a placebo effect because I think that it's helping with it, but I think it really is.
Well, millennials have younger skin, so.
I don't know. And then I got this other like product that's, it's called like Froya or something. It's like this Norwegian skincare that's like,
that sounds
all
about right.
All organic, like natural ingredients. And so there's a day cream, a night cream, and then like an under eye cream. And I feel like that's also, I don't know. It just like makes me feel like I'm taking care of myself.
Beautiful.
I feel beautiful. So I've been doing that and it's been like 2 weeks and I feel like I have noticed some differences in my skin and I feel, I don't know.
Two weeks is enough to know kind of a little bit more. Usually you stick with skincare for a month unless you're having allergic reactions.
Yeah. And I haven't had any allergic reactions because my skin is like super sensitive. So yeah, I don't know. I like it. I think I have found some new products that I'm super enjoying.
I used to work for Clinique, so... Sorry, I'm bragging right now, everybody.
But. Yeah, but it's just kind of like all natural stuff. So
yeah,
it's
been, that's awesome.
It's been a journey. What did you do?
This week for self-care, it's kind of like everything's a blur right now. I'm like, what have I done? Because I've been really sick.
Yeah.
So I guess I've been watching this new show called Animal Control. Okay.
Okay, what is that about?
Okay, so I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh my God, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's basically Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but for an animal control people.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's actually pretty good.
It's funny?
It's really funny.
Okay.
Joel McHale's in it.
Okay, I like him.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Community?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But like Joel McHale just, I think he probably plays the same character, but.
Yeah, I think he just plays himself.
Yeah, I've been sick and I'm an antibiotics, don't worry, but I haven't done that much, but it's pretty good.
Okay, you're gonna be proud of me. I started Tell Me Lies.
I know.
It's fine.
Okay, stick with it.
I'm kind of like, it feels like a slow burn.
I was waiting for you to say, I hate Steven. That's why I said.
I mean, yeah, he's like typical.
He's not even good looking.
He's like a douchebag guy. Like, I feel like it was like one of the first episodes where like they meet, you know, and he's like being all like quippy and whatever and like
mysterious
and like, I don't know, I didn't like him immediately because he was like backing her into a corner. They were like talking and it was like his body language was weird.
You're not supposed to like him ever.
Well, yeah, but he's like I don't know. He was like backing her into a corner, like as they were talking. I'm like, ew, back up, creep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I haven't gotten super far. They're like, I guess,
final. There'll be an episode that's going to pull you in. You're going to be like, holy.
Yeah. They're like, so the girl died. Macy. And then Macy died. And then like, then the one boy has admitted to Steven and his brother, like, that he.
Wrigley.
Yeah, he like was the other, he was a driver and like he saw it happen and he like swerved and car hit the tree and then he like ran away or whatever. So I'm like that far into it and I'm kind of like, okay, when is this gonna get better?
You're not gonna like Wrigley at first. He's really annoying and then you start loving him.
He's like typical jock guy.
You don't like him at
but
first.
But I kind of like him. He's a little bit endearing.
He is endearing. He gets more endearing. Okay. Like, because I was like, oh, he's so annoying. And then I was like, oh. And by like season three, you're like, love you, boop. Like,
okay. Yeah. So I don't know.
They're all toxic in their own separate ways.
I haven't like gotten super far because I just haven't had a lot of time. But
there's
going to
be people you
know.
Root for and then you turn around. I just need you to keep with it.
Okay. I'm going to try. I'm going to try my best.
Well, you know how much people loved it, so.
I know, everyone's obsessed with it. I'm trying to get into it.
It takes a second. That's how I felt about 6 feet Under. So what are you going to tell me about this week?
So this week I'm going to tell you about the fraudulent boy band agent, Lou Pearlman.
Dun, dun, dun. Did you watch the documentary on it?
I sure did.
He's so gross.
He's a weirdo.
He tried to be daddy.
Big Papa.
Sorry, I'm so... Sorry, I'm just like, go on with the story. So,
first things first, I have to get a very serious question out in the air, in the open.
In sync.
Well, let me say it first. Okay. Were you a Backstreet Boys fan or an NSYNC fan?
NSYNC. I saw NSYNC in concert.
Correct answer.
Were you NSYNC also? Yeah.
Well, I saw Backstreet Boys in concert, like, I think it was like 2022. They did a
world
tour.
I just want to be a brat and say.
And like... I remembered immediately why I liked NSYNC better because, like, Backstreet Boys are very much, like, slow songs, ballads.
They have songs. I'm not going to say.
They've got good songs.
Yeah, I love
But I was expecting it to be more like where NSYNC does a lot of, like, dancey, like.
I saw No Strings Attached. Okay. Steve and Debbie at my wedding.
Who?
Their daughter. Do you remember Steve and Debbie at my
wedding?
Oh,
yeah.
Their daughter went to the concert with us.
So fun.
Yeah. So I'm sorry I ruined your question, but NSYNC.
All the way. Okay. Follow-up question.
Okay.
Who is your pretend boyfriend?
JC.
Oh my God, me too.
Because also like my sister, she loved JC and I just like, and but also Kristen. I like JC because he had the better voice and that's what got me. She got me noticing him, but he had the better voice.
And
my
he had really good
brother-in-law
hair.
Looks like him, though, so it's a little bit weird.
I guess I could see it.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, when he was way younger, too. Like, it's almost scary.
Sure.
So, okay. But JC was, I'm sorry, he was the heart and soul.
He's the only right answer.
His singing? Duh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can't even handle it, because he's the one holding the notes. Like, okay, Justin,
with your fucking ramen hair.
Well, they were like, we hope Justin takes a fall so he'll come down to earth and be like, okay, if we could do an NSYNC tour, we would go.
I mean, yeah.
We wouldn't even discuss it. We would just buy tickets and be like,
Justin is like the
later. Posh
spice of NSYNC. He never agrees to the tour.
I know.
Just agree to the tour. Give the
fans
what they want.
Do you know how much money you would make?
God.
You would be putting everyone's good like graces again. Yeah,
just do it. Anyways, okay,
sorry.
So
I'm glad we're on the same wavelength here.
So,
and I usually like blonde men, so me like and JC. I know, gross, your brother.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to tell you about the story about the fraudster boy band manager. And basically, he's the guy, Lou Pearlman, is the man who basically like made Backstreet Boys and NSYNC famous around the world.
So like, thank you, but also like, you're a creep.
Yeah. He's also credited for running the longest Ponzi scheme in American history. So we'll get to that.
It's a Ponzi scheme, but it worked.
There's a different...
Oh,
it's a whole different
shit.
Thing.
Yeah.
So we got the fraudster boy band thing, and then we've got a whole other thing.
Okay, let's go.
So let's get into it. So I'm going to, there's layers to the fraud.
There has to be.
So I gotta start with the layers we're going to build up. So, okay. In the 1980s, Lou Pearlman was in the business of blimps. Okay? So he loved a blimp.
He was a blimp.
He... Kim!
No, he was horrible.
We don't fat shame here.
I'm not fat shaming. He sucked.
Okay. He was a blimp.
I also feel that way about Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, fair. Okay, so...
I'm sorry I said it. I'm sorry if I hurt feelings.
So he started a company called Airship Enterprises Limited, where basically he made blimps. And like in the 80s, I guess people fucking love blimps. It was like a fun time, big deal. Well, it was
like for sporting events.
For like marketing.
Yeah.
People loved a fucking blimp. And so... you would like fly a blimp around like for sports things.
Yeah.
With like a brand name on it, and people lost their fucking minds. And so,
yeah.
This one time he had a blimp that was supposed to fly over a Jordache jeans promo party.
Jordache jeans. Like, I'm back.
We're back in the 80s, baby.
We talked about 17 magazine like I think 2 weeks ago. That was where I saw it. Yep.
Yes. Okay, so over it's supposed to go over the promo party, but it had to crash land because some people said that Lou knew it was a faulty blimp before he put it in the air.
And you got mad about me calling him a blimp. I'm just reason number one. There we go.
So
I'll count them.
The crash landing resulted in a $2.5 million insurance payout.
Did anyone pass away?
No one died, no.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but so with this money, he made a new company called Airship International. This company went public. He continued just like pumping out blimps, scoring deals with big name brands like McDonald's and SeaWorld. And so like things are good. Money's coming in. He relocated to Orlando, Florida. But blimps kept crashing and he kept collecting insurance money. And eventually, the business kind of failed. So you see where we're going with this.
Well, yeah. Insurance fraud.
Yeah. Okay. So then, after that, business just kind of like deflates. he gets... I had to. That was... I didn't even put that in the notes.
That was right off the top.
So then he gets the idea that he's going to lease airplanes in the 90s. And he starts a new company. And this one is called Transcontinental Airlines.
Is this for shipping or is it for like classy flights?
This is like, yeah, for like classy flights.
Okay. Because so, there's two types of. Yeah. Go on with the story.
So this is where he starts leasing private planes to celebrities. And let me just tell you up front, Transcontinental Airlines did not actually own any airplanes. Good old Lou Pearlman simply made it look like he owned airplanes. By taking creative photos of model airplanes.
If only AI was a thing then.
He was real creative, I'm not going to lie. Like, part of me is kind of like...
I hate to say respect. It, but to do Ponzi schemes, you kind of have to be a little bit savvy. You have to know how to talk to people.
Oh, yeah. And so he would lease... He would basically... He would lease planes by the hour. And then he would take those same planes and lease them to celebrities for like... way more money.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, and he had the gift of gab. Like, he was like a true salesman. Like, he could just, like, fucking sell you anything. And
I hate it, but I could have told you know, that, yeah.
Some people are talented in that way, and he was. And he had a shit ton of investors just dumping money into his imaginary company.
Why wouldn't you?
And
if it's making money.
And people believed, like, I mean, he was one of those people that, like, he could just talk to anyone and they'd be like, yeah.
This totally. Makes so much sense.
And, like, yeah. So, kind of good for him.
Yeah.
But, it's like, not. Good. But not. It's fraud.
Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, he got more and more investors. He's, like, doing well. Because he would get investors and then those investors would tell other people and then those people would tell other... Like, it was, like... all these rich people were like, yeah, dude, he's like the real deal. Pyramid. Like, yeah. Pyramid scheme. Okay, so this is when he leased a plane to New Kids on the Block. And he sees, like, this boy band has, like, a shit ton of money. Like,
yeah,
they're living large. Like,
they were huge. They're not bigger than Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, but they were, like,
they were kind of, like,
the blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. The blueprint for boy bands.
Yeah, exactly.
And they could easily afford a chartered private plane.
Sure.
So he's like, I'm in the wrong business. Like, let me get into music management. So he's like, let me just add that to Transcontinental Airlines. Like, it's not only an airline company, but it's also a music management company. And so he adds this to his business plan. He's like seeing dollar signs and he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a boy band. And so in 1993, he put an ad out basically like in the classifieds of Florida newspapers. And it's like, I'm making a boy band, like come with a song that you want to sing to my big ass mansion and like, show me what you got. Show me your talent.
Show me what you're working with.
Yeah. And so people show up basically in the end. This is how the Backstreet Boys became the Backstreet Boys. So we've got Nick Carter. He was 13 at the time. AJ McLean. He was 15. Brian Littrell. He was 18. Howie Durow, 20. And then Kevin Richardson, who was the oldest at 21.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, of the Backstreet Boys, who was it?
Okay. Of the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
Kevin. Oh my God, really?
Same. But Nick Carter would have been but I'm glad I didn't pick him as a kid. It was Kevin, because Kevin always looked like distinguished.
Yeah, he was hot.
Do we have the same type as children?
Weird.
Yeah, Kevin, and then, but like Nick Carter was like the...
He was like the Justin.
Yeah, he was. But I liked Kevin because I thought he was more distinguished.
And I thought he was just like kind of
8-year-old me wanted
distinguished. He was like a little bit mysterious, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
kind definitely. Kind of that vibe about him.
I feel like Nick, Brian, and Kevin were, like, the bigger ones that people, like, yeah, really liked. But, yeah, mine was absolutely Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, also, fun fact, Nick was so young that Brian was made to be his legal guardian when they were, like, traveling around.
Which
is crazy.
I kind of love that a little bit.
Okay.
It's like a horse, like, babysitting a dog. Right? Am I wrong? It's an animal that's a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger, but still an animal.
So, all I can think of.
So Lou Pearlman was the, like, manager. And he was, like I said, he, like, had the salesman personality. So they just kind of, like, assumed, like, he was fucking rich. He had, like, a huge mansion. Everyone was just like, yeah, he knows how to make us, like, rich and famous. Like, he sold them on it. He was like,
I would listen to him too if he was given advice.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to do this. We're going to do it right. Like, you guys are going to be big. You're going to go on world tours. Like, and they all, like, believed him. And that's what they wanted. Well, so
yeah.
He was basically, like, selling them their dream. And so...
And if five of them were buying into it, you're going to be more likely, like, if your counterparts like are also, like,
this mentality, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so they're all like, hell yeah, he's going to do this. And so he got, like, voice teachers involved. He got choreographers involved. He like, did the whole thing.
So it's legitimate.
To, like, make these kids, like, become famous. Like, he was making it happen for them. And so they, you know, it felt like kind of like a family, too. Like, they trusted him. They loved him. And he kind of... came to be known to them as Big Papa. And it was like endearing. I like it
when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you use a true player. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If I hear Big Papa,
that's what I think.
Yeah.
And Kevin considered him like a father figure too, because he had lost his dad to cancer. And so, like, he kind of took that father figure place for him.
Yeah.
So it really was like a very much like...
And they're young anyway.
Yeah, like family sort of feeling. Like, they really looked up to him. They really believed him. And And that was like really key to this relationship and kind of key to.
If you don't have trust, you have like nothing.
The manipulation, I guess.
Yeah.
And well, they were young. I don't think it really, I don't know if it like started out like that, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think it was like, and maybe that's just me being naive. I don't know if he necessarily like was like, I'm going to like take all this money from them and like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, I don't know. Anyways, so on paper, Lou had made himself the sixth member of the band, which meant that he made an equal share of whatever the boys earned. So
part of me is like, fair, but he didn't take the same share they had.
Right. So they toured the entire US. They like toured high schools for some reason. I don't know. I guess it was just kind of like a way to like get their name out there. They like, these kids are seeing them.
Middle schools, high schools.
Yes.
Malls.
Yeah. That was like kind of the
stadiums.
Thing.
Stadiums.
Like, they're really targeting the audience that they want to see.
Do you,
know,
you
like,
remember Britney Spears?
Going to malls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one of her tapes. Oh my God. It was Baby One More Time. And I was like, this song is just snappy.
This is the jam.
The song slaps.
So, yeah, that was kind of like how they started.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting the name out there, doing all the stuff, whatever. And also, like, they're kids. I mean, like, I guess 20 and 21, that's not really kids. But, like, they're still young. They're impressionable.
They're kids.
They're trusting you to, like, really make this happen for
lead them in the right direction.
But they're also like, the younger kids are minors, and so they're working long hours, like recording and like
choreography,
practicing their dances and like all this stuff, like really trying to like make it happen. And they were like doing all this stuff in like Lou's blimp garage, like
my favorite place, blimp garage.
Love a blimp garage. But so they're putting in a lot of work.
Yeah.
And there's no like child labor laws, you know, like there's
no
one's in there being like, well, how many hours have you guys been practicing? Like, you need a break, you know, like it's just like they want to make it. So it's like fucking happening.
So I don't know exactly I know Alicia Silverstone was in a movie called The Crush when she was 14. It's literally a Fatal Attraction. I own it.
Mm-hmm.
You can borrow it. She had to get emancipated to work long hours.
Oh.
And I know Mandy Moore also got emancipated to do A Walk to Remember. So there were child labor laws, but
you had to, like, there's ways to get around it.
Yeah,
and I
exactly.
think also, like,
I think nowadays it doesn't matter.
A lot of parents in those kind of, like, situations where it's like
they
Hollywood.
Didn't a lot of them didn't come from good situations.
I don't think they cared.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know a lot about Aaron Carter or excuse me Nick Carter's parents, well, and Aaron Carter's parents, but
listen, I loved Aaron Carter.
I don't think the Carter's parents were
they were
kind
horrible
people. So I think,
can I tell you a fun little fact that's not fun? Aaron Carter passed away. Yeah. Like, RIP. Loved Aaron Carter. I went to 2 of his concerts. It's fine. I'll get over it eventually. It was actually like, I was like, oh my God, his son, the mother of his son took that money, put it in a trust for him. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
His mom's trying to sue for all that money.
Yeah, dude, his mom sucks.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, his mom.
That's not your money. That's like
I don't
the
have
little
nice
bit.
Words for her.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So
there's a lot of.
So not only were they surrounded by like people like Lou Pearlman to get manipulated, but it's not like a lot of them had these great parents. Yeah. And maybe some of them were, but
yeah. Ugh. So anyways, at this time, like, the pop scene in the US wasn't like super huge, but in Germany, like, the Backstreet Boys were fucking huge. Like, Germany loved the Backstreet Boys. Like, they were like insanely popular.
Some other countries like the stuff before it comes to the US and like becomes big here.
Yeah, the Germans loved them. They were obsessed.
Yeah.
So eventually they got signed with a record company called BMG. They got a record deal. They made it, and it was like a huge deal. They were living the dream, yada yada yada, blah blah blah, whatever. Okay, so we're going to pause there with Backstreet Boys. They're successful.
They did it. Congratulations.
You made it. Now, Lou's thought process is that success breeds competition. So if Backstreet Boys are Coca-Cola, we got to make Pepsi before someone else does.
Yeah.
NSYNC. So he's like already working on getting NSYNC out there. Like they were kind of like a hush-hush project that like not a lot of people knew about. And then, bam,
NSYNC,
they hit the scene.
I feel like that's how, what happened, yeah. Right? It was just suddenly like they were everywhere.
They were just everywhere.
Yeah.
So Chris Kirkpatrick was like the first member of NSYNC, which I thought was random because he was like the most, he was no one's favorite. Let's be real. He was no one's favorite.
No.
And also I thought it was like kind of funny in the documentary because he was like all sad. He's like, yeah, I got famous. And then I got roasted by Eminem and realized,
yeah, that my kiss last Kirk name. Yeah, Kirkpatrick, get your ass kicked.
Yeah, my last I think name about rhymed that. With get your ass kicked.
I thought of that when you were saying that. Poor I was guy. Like, oh, Chris Kirkpatrick, get your ass kicked. So. Well, and then Joey Fatone was another one that wasn't everyone's favorite either.
Yeah. No.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Anyways, NSYNC... So they get successful, and people in the music business like didn't take Lou Pearlman seriously because they were kind of like, you just got lucky with Backstreet Boys, like that's just like a one off, like, and so he kind of wanted to prove like, no, I can do this again,
like I'm actually good at this.
I'm good at this,
yeah.
We're going to make NSYNC just as successful as Backstreet Boys. And so Backstreet Boys, like at this point, like they had been doing tours, like they were huge, but they were like, they were tired. They were like, we've been working our fucking asses off. Like we haven't seen our families. Like we,
our children,
we're sick of like, you know, saying yes to everything. Like we need some time. Like we want to spend Christmas with our families, like whatever. And so
a reasonable request.
They had been offered to do like these concert specials in Orlando with Disney. But like they were so tired. They're like, no, we can't do this. And so NSYNC stepped up and they did the concert specials. And so
was this the Christmas one?
No. Well, I don't know if it was specifically
a Christmas one. You were just saying like they wanted to go.
But like I'm saying Backstreet Boys needed time to like, you know, have a holiday or like, you know, special time with their families because they hadn't even had Christmas with their families in like a couple years.
Totally understandable.
So NSYNC stepped up and they're doing like these specials in Orlando for Disney, and that kind of like got them like the fame that people started noticing them. They're like, oh my god, who are these people? Like they're so cool. And so Lou would also like kind of incite these, like, he would be like gossipy and he would like make it like a competition between the two boy bands.
So absolutely.
He'd be like, oh my god, did you hear what the Backstreet Boys are saying and what they're doing? Oh my god, NSYNC, what are they doing that to you guys?
They talk some shit and I said, guys, like, they're my friends, guys,
like stop. So he would like just be like gossipy and like he would create this like competition between them.
Okay, there's so many more reasons before this, like, but this is two blimp.
Yeah, it's like so weird. So then so the boys were kind of like, we're like frenemies kind of. But then there was like this one time where the two bands, like they played a basketball charity game together. And like afterwards they were all kind of like chatting and then they kind of like realized like, oh wait,
we
like,
don't hate each
other. We don't
guts.
Hate each other. And also like, wait, you're not getting paid a whole bunch. Wait, we're not getting paid a whole bunch. Then why is Lou making like millions of dollars? So they were kind of like comparing notes because they had all been a little bit like suspicious of like, why are we like not making like a shit ton of money? Despite us all like selling like massive records and like doing all these tours
and not resting.
And, yeah, like we're working our asses off and he's making millions and we're making like thousands. And so like there had been times where like Chris of NSYNC had said, like, the first check he got, it was like the biggest check he'd ever received in his life. And he used to work at like Outback Steakhouse. So he was like, whoa, this is like so much money. It was like $10,000.
But he thought it was going to be millions.
But then him and JC are talking and JC's like, dude, how much money do you make a year at Outback Steakhouse? And he's like, oh, wait, this isn't a lot of money. Like, you know, like $10,000. Like, we've been working our fucking asses off. Yeah. And this isn't even what I make in a year at Outback Steakhouse. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, what?
That was really smart that JC did ask that question. Because I'm sure, like, first time.
That's a lot of money for one check.
I mean, the first time I got a $10,000 check I have, I was just like, oh my God. But it was, like, a bonus check.
Yeah, but it's like, that's not what you make, like.
But that,
considering how much work you've been doing, how much records you've been selling, where's the money?
If I'm making $10,000 a night, I better not be burned out. You know what I mean?
So, like, he paid for all these, like, choreographers. He paid for food. He paid for travel. He paid for, like, a whole bunch of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but even if you factor that in to, like, pay back all of those expenses, there would still be a lot of money that should be coming back to us.
Lou wouldn't be able to afford his life on $10,000 every few months.
So they're all like, the math ain't mathing. And so this is when both bands started filing lawsuits against Lou Pearlman. And let's be clear, they were never ungrateful for what Lou did for them. They were
I'm not mad at them about that.
They just felt taken advantage of. And so Lou claimed he was the sixth member of each group, and he spent money creating them and that they wouldn't be who they were without him. But Backstreet Boys sued him, claiming that he took 43% of profits in 1998. The band members, they all tried to, like, get away from him, to, like, get out of the contracts that they had been tied to.
They didn't need him anymore.
Yeah. And eventually Lou, like, lost his claims that the band names and branding belonged to him, and both NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were allowed to go on without him. And also, they, like, settled in court for, like, $64 million or something like that. I think it was $64 million. And Lou had used the same defense attorney that Casey Anthony used. Chaney was his name. And he didn't pay that guy back for his, like, lawyer fees.
Was this guy in the documentary?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that guy was
too
pissed. He was like,
yeah,
you're not gonna pay me my, like, fees? Like, I get a certain percentage of that. So he
not was, saying he wasn't smart, but, like, he also was, no, but he getting was, sued he was for pissed. Not paying money. So
then he sued Lou too. Like, it was like this whole thing. Like, Lou owed so many people, like, so much money. So I just thought it was interesting where I was like, dude, like, you're gonna fuck over your lawyer too? Like,
the one that has legal knowledge and can, like, find any loophole? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So anyways, not a good guy. Okay. No. And so in 2000, the Bye 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 record was massive. So, like, it just proved that, like, they didn't need him to make a huge money-making record. So
Bye 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 is still one of the songs you can ask anyone any age and they know all the words.
So good.
We all know the dance.
For sure. And what's wild is that even with all the lawsuits and people knowing what he did, other young singers were still knowingly signing contracts with Lou Pearlman.
Desperation.
Exactly. So they were like, well, it might be a bad recording contract, but it's better than no contract
at all. But I'm famous.
So he went on to sign Aaron Carter, which is, like, weird because that's Nick Carter's little brother. Again, Carter
predatory
parents suck. And then he did a reality TV show making the band.
I was about to say, wasn't he behind that?
Yeah.
Was it O-Town?
Yeah. And a whole bunch of other bands that, like, no one cares about. Okay, so now let's get to the Ponzi scheme. So Lou Pearlman's company, Transcontinental, had a savings program that promised higher returns than any other bank at the time. And it was funded by FDIC and Lloyd's of London. Oh, seem too good to be true, because it fucking was. It was all fake.
Okay, I was so, like, wait, what is this?
In 2006, Transcontinental was being investigated by the FBI. In the 30 years that the program was running, Lou Pearlman had convinced 2,000 people to invest in Transcontinental Savings Program.
Oh, shit.
This included employees, friends, friends of friends, basically anyone he could find.
Yeah.
And he just promised huge returns. But then it all, like, basically, like, came to a halt when people were like, well, where the fuck is my return? So people believed that it was such a great place to put their entire life savings.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to. I knew that was coming.
Their inheritances. And people lost all of it.
Money they didn't have to lose.
All of it. And never got any of it back.
And I'm sure some of those people ended up on the streets.
Yeah. Like, there are people that were just like, we don't have anything left. Like, we put everything in this program, which is so sad. And he just, like, used it to, you know,
do. And you know he doesn't feel bad about it.
Oh, no. So, yeah, people caught on. They're like, we need our money back, all this stuff. He had falsified bank documents, certifications, defrauding over $1 billion. He went on the run from
a billion?
Yeah. He went on the run from the FBI in 2007, but was caught in Bali in... Oh, he was... He went on the run from the FBI in January of 2007, but was caught in Bali in June of 2007.
That's...
Yikes.
5 months?
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. So in 2008, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison, and the judge gave him... Only? He said, you'll get 1 month reduction for each $1 million that you pay back. But, like, of course, he couldn't pay any of that back.
Well, no, he probably fucking spent it all in Bali.
Yeah.
Like...
Or just, like, the entire, like, I mean, who even knows? On everything that he, like, his extravagant lifestyle. Why do you need that kind of
money? Yeah, like.
Because everything he did with, like, the boy bands and stuff, like, it was limos, it was private jets, it was, like, everything was top of the line. There was never, like, we're just going to get, like, a van to, like, take us to the airport.
Why am I not?
It was always, like, a limo. It was always, like, because he wanted them to think, like, this is the life that you could have.
Was it a limo explorer? I couldn't help myself. You knew if you say limo, I'm going to ask the question.
Is it actually a limo? So anyways, he actually ended up only serving 8 of the years in prison because he died in 2016 due to a heart problem at the age of 62. And of the approximate $500 million that he stole, only $10 million has been recovered.
That's disgusting.
Fucking insane.
I just remember in the documentary I watched, they talked to Chris Kirkpatrick, and he was just like, yeah, he was like, you guys are going to get a bunch of money. He's like, we opened it, and it was like $10,000.
Yeah.
He's like, but he made it seem like it was going to be millions.
Yeah.
Like, that's
insane. And he's like, wait, what? Me. Where's the money?
Have you seen TikToks with Backstreet Boys and NSYNC? There's one where I think it's Chris Kirkpatrick or it's Joey Fatone and Lance Bass. And they're like using the Kardashian over like voiceover where they're like, I'm so scared of her. Oh. I'm so scared of her. And I think like Howie walks in. He's like, hi. Hi.
Oh, my God.
It's
amazing.
Yeah. But like they totally get along. But I think they like the little feud because it keeps like the boy band universe alive for them. Yeah. I don't know. But I can tell you. We're going to go see NSYNC if they come to town.
Oh my God, yes.
Or Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. Come to the Sphere.
No Strings Attached was one of the coolest concerts, though. It was so fun.
I bet.
It was awesome. My mom went, too.
Karen was just like...
Yeah.
She was like dancing.
She was there to watch me and Rachel. Well, my sister was there, too. It was so much fun, but it's like one of those things I get to talk about. So, yeah.
All right, well, we'll post pictures on Instagram, and you can find us at Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
You can email us self-care tips, anything to say hi, just at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
And until next time, self-care yourself.
We got to go see Scream 7.
Okay, bye.
Bye.